Canada is taking in more Syrian refugees than the United States is, but that doesn't mean it's been easy. The group handling the settlement of refugees in Vancouver has now asked the city to hold off accepting any more refugees from Syria. CBC radio host Stephen Quinn says the hold on refugees is only a temporary one.
We're talking about a number of days here, but what's happened is with the number of government-sponsored refugees who have been arriving in Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland, the Immigrant Services Society of BC, which is tasked with helping settle these people, says it can't keep up. Most of the about roughly 700 government-sponsored refugees who have arrived here remain in temporary housing. And here's the thing, the government-sponsored refugees, for a family of five, they get a monthly allowance of about $800. And I don't know if you know anything about the Vancouver real estate market or the rental market, but trying to find anywhere to live for that amount of money is virtually impossible. That's all the money they get. So right now we've got people, most of them, the vast majority of them, still in temporary housing. The ISS says it's got leads on some affordable apartments, but it is proving much more difficult to get these people into housing than was originally anticipated. So Vancouver and the city of Ottawa as well have just asked to stop taking in refugees for a short period of time until they can clear out some of that backlog from the temporary housing, get some people into permanent housing.
British Columbia has taken in hundreds of Syrian refugees in the last 6 months or so. Generally, how has their resettlement gone so far?
You know, I think it depends on whether they are government-sponsored refugees or privately sponsored refugees. A number of individuals, families, faith groups have got together. They've put up the money to take in even a couple of families. And it's an expensive proposition because when they do that, they take on the responsibility of everything this family needs for their first year in Canada. So their housing, their food, any courses they might need. On that track, it seems to be a lot smoother than it does on the government-sponsored track right now. There are backlogs, though, in such things as ESL. People are arriving. They don't speak the language, and it's taking months for some people to get into English as a second language training, not to mention, you know, which, of course, makes it very difficult to get a job. But just navigating their way around as well. I mean, we're talking about people who arrive at the airport, you know, families of five, six, and seven people who know nothing about what it's like to live here. And again, the Lower Mainland, Vancouver and southern British Columbia, very, very expensive place to live.
Speaking of expensive, on a different subject here, Stephen, the Canadian dollar is very cheap to the U.S. dollar right now.
Yes, it is, Bill. Thank you for reminding us.
Well, one more image I want from you. This is symbolized somehow by a head of cauliflower?
I don't know where this came from, but somehow there's a mythical $8 head of cauliflower out there. I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. My own experience is I have been able to purchase cauliflower for substantially less than that. But fresh food, of course, most of it imported into Canada at this time of year, has shot up in price because of the value of the Canadian dollar. Where are we today? 68, 69 cents to the U.S. dollar. Somehow, cauliflower has come to symbolize this to the point where there's a hashtag out there, cauliflower crisis. But it seems to be, I don't know why anyone would choose cauliflower. I mean, it's a lumpy, tasteless, tumorous vegetable that I mostly avoid. I mean, go to any buffet. What's left on the vegetable plate when everything else is gone? It's the cauliflower. So the unsung hero of the Canadian dollar crash so far. And if I do spot an $8 cauliflower, I will be sure to let you know.
I'm going to convert you. Olive oil, some Indian spices, and high temperature, you're going to be a changed man.
Roasting it, are you?
Yes, I'm roasting it for you.
I know. My mother wrecked cauliflower for me at an early age.
That's if you can afford it in the first place.
Well, exactly. Only rich people have cauliflower. It's cauliflower for everybody.
Let them eat tumorous vegetables. one more thing here, Stephen. The British Columbia government has just released its report on the Stanley Cup hockey riot of 2011 that we may remember here. I do. I remember it. What more is there to say about that riot?
Yeah, I watched it from outside the window of this very studio that night and reported live on it.
Did you? Tell me about that.
Well, it was crazy because the Canucks lost the Game 7 against Boston. People came out of the arena. They poured out onto the street where thousands had gathered to watch it on the big screens outside. Things started getting ugly very quickly. We were supposed to be doing a kind of sports broadcast to talk about the game, but of course, within minutes, we saw what was going on outside when the first police car caught fire. So that was 4.5 years ago now. And the final report has come in from Crown Counsel, from the prosecution. Here's an interesting number, though. The total amount of damage done by that riot was about somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 million. It cost $5 million to prosecute everybody who was charged in this. So 912 charges were laid against about 300 people, most of them adults. 284 of them ended up pleading guilty, and there were only 10 trials out of the whole thing. Not a proud moment for Vancouver, not a proud moment for hockey fans, but certainly interesting to see these numbers and interesting to see how much damage was done and how much it cost to finally prosecute the whole thing.
Yes, good money thrown after a waste of a riot.
Really, really a low point in this city, I think.
That's Stephen Quinn, host of the CBC One radio show on the coast in Vancouver, and he also writes a column for the Globe and Mail.